Welcome back, Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Joining us now on the hotline is Mike Johnson, former All-American in Alabama, host of Open Mic on Backwards Sports Network. And Mike was also, even though he was an offensive lineman, finished tied for fourth on the 2012 Atlanta Falcons in receiving touchdowns. Did you know that, Mike? You finished tied for fourth. Did you know that?
I wasn't quite aware that I was that high on the chart, but the touchdown's definitely a big memory, my friend. I definitely didn't forget that.
Yeah, that year, Julio Jones had 10 touchdowns. Tony Gonzalez had 8. Roddy White had 7, and you and I think like 5 or 6 other guys had 1 each. You got to tell us about that, how you ended up scoring a touchdown, because obviously we don't see offensive linemen get touchdowns very often, but you caught a pass from Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I did, man. It's funny that you list off all those names on that list, because all of them were on the field at the time I caught the touchdown.
It was nice.
It was quite the experience. I was a goal line tight end. I was one of those guys that had to run on the field, you know, and say, hey, 79 is eligible, and the referees had to report it out loud to the stadium. So everybody knew I was out there, and I kind of threw a bluff block on the late Will Smith, the defensive end from the Saints. And I threw a bluff block, and I was just supposed to be a decoy to try to clear out the defenses. And I always joke that, you know, I'm on the field, I'm in the huddle with Tony Gonzalez and Roddy White and Julio Jones and Michael Turner. And Matt Ryan's looking right. He sees Roddy not open. He sees Tony not open. And there I am, all 79, all number 79 of me standing in the flat, completely wide open. And I know Matt did not want to throw that pass, but there was no other option at the time. And I caught it like a fat man. I caught it in the belly in true fat man form. But pretty good memory, my friend, pretty good memory.
Did you do like a fat guy dance?
I think I was so shocked at the time that I didn't even have anything prepared. Everybody's like, did you spike it? Did you dance? No, like I looked back towards the rest of the offensive linemen, and they were like, oh, my God, you just caught a touchdown pass in the Superdome. So no dancing for me, not much of a celebration. I just kind of handed the ball back to the referee and went on about my business.
That's funny. We're talking with Mike Johnson. Let's start with your former team, Alabama, because obviously, you know, right now they look like the best team in college football. They look a notch above the other elite teams, and there's some really good teams, but they look just a little bit better than the rest of the big teams. Obviously, when you look at Alabama, there's, you know, Nick Saban's a big part of the reason why they've been as good as they've been. Why do you think they're just a cut above, or at least seem to be a cut above, everybody else in college football right now?
Well, you know what's interesting about Alabama, and it has been since the time that Nick Saban was hired back in my sophomore year, is that they're just a team that they don't beat themselves. It's all about time of possession. It's all about creating explosive plays, and it's all about third down conversion percentage. But more than that, Nick Saban's dynasty is built off of turnover ratio. It's always been about turnover ratio. They've never been a team that's fumbled much. They've never been a team that throws many interceptions. And he has found a way with the talent he has offensively, on the offensive line and the receiver core, and obviously with Tua Tagovailoa, he has found a way to keep that turnover ratio down while also airing out the football. You know, everything Tua's done well, his most important statistic is 0 interceptions. I mean, that is why Nick Saban has allowed him to do the things they've been able to do offensively. So as special as the offense has been in creating yardage and touchdowns, I would argue as an offensive lineman here, I would argue that his most important statistic is turnover ratio right now. And it continues to be, like I said, explosive plays, great running backs, great offensive linemen, but they don't put themselves in danger. They don't put their defense in bad situations. You look around the other great teams in college football, yes, they have a pretty good turnover ratio, but nobody's turnover ratio really, really approaches what Alabama's doing right now. So they're really good offensively. They're really good defensively. They have great returners on special teams, but they're not turning the ball over, and that's allowed for a lot of these lopsided scores.
You know, Mike, one more thing on Alabama. We'll look ahead to next week because both Alabama and LSU are off this week, and then they will match up next week. The last time LSU beat Alabama was 2011, as you know, and Alabama's won 7 straight games. And but this is probably the best LSU team in a while. At least we think they are. Obviously, they're ranked number 5 in the country. Looking ahead a week early, what do you make of this matchup?
Well, obviously, you know, it's going to be a physical matchup. It always is. You know, I was on a team in 2008 that goes down to Baton Rouge as the number one ranked team in the country. LSU's coming off a national title in 2007. And it is just, it's a brutal physical fist fight. I mean, I say that every time I go down there. And, you know, for all the players that Alabama has had, I mean, LSU's right there step for step with them with the star talent they've had. I mean, go back to, you know, Glenn Dorsey and Tyson Jackson and some of the guys I was playing against. It's a brutal physical football game. And it's always about establishing the run. It's always about not making the turnovers, like I was just saying. And like you said, this might be the best LSU team that we've seen in a while. But these games are always close. I mean, I've been at the last couple of games down in Death Valley myself once my playing career was over. And you always get – I mean, I think it was 10-0 a couple of years ago. 2 years before that, you had to lead a comeback there in the fourth quarter and kick a field goal to send it to overtime. I mean, these games are always back and forth. And so when I look at it, who can establish the run? Who can stop the run? This, you know, this isn't, for everything Alabama's done well defensively, this is not the stalwart defensive line that it seemingly they've had in years past. So I think LSU will do the same things they tried to do against Georgia. Go out, stop the run, be physical, you know, and make the other team air out the ball. I just think that Tua Tagovailoa is a little bit better than Jake Fromm at this point. And so I think Bama probably guzzles up a pretty good amount of passing yards in that one.
We're talking with former Alabama All-American Mike Johnson, now the host of Open Mic on Backroad Sports Network. Mike, Florida-Georgia is the best game in the SEC this week. Both teams come in at 6-1. The game's at Georgia. Georgia's a slight favorite in this game, but obviously it's a toss-up. Who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've had people all week, and my show airs, you mentioned it, on Backroad Sports Network down there in Florida, and I've challenged Florida fans all week to call in and tell me, you know, why Florida is going to win this football game. And the thing that I keep hearing from Florida fans is LSU gave them the blueprint defensively to be able to stop Georgia. But I just don't see it that way. I've crossed this game left. I've crossed it right. I've looked up and down. Georgia's more talented. They're a better running team. They're more consistent defensively. And for everything you think they struggled with against LSU, I think they'll turn that into a strength against Florida. Everybody likes to point to that Georgia and their inability to rush throughout the final three quarters against LSU. But when I look at the game, I think back to Florida against Kentucky. I think about Benny Snell ripping off, you know, 150 rushing yards. I think about, you know, the quarterback, Terry Wilson being able to rip off 100 rushing yards against this Florida defense. That's the way I tend to see the game playing out. I think that Georgia runs the ball. I think they run it early. I think they run it often. I think you'll see Justin Fields sprinkled in. I think that if Florida can somehow find a way to get Georgia off schedule and to back them up into third and long, then you might see a Florida team that stands a chance. Then you unleash Jabari Zuniga and C.C. Jefferson and Jashai Polite. But I'm just not sure they'll be able to do that. I think Georgia rips off 5- and 6-yard gainers on first and second down. I think they mix in some play action with Jake Fromm. I think they get in the hand of their playmakers. And I expect Georgia to win this game by a couple touchdowns today, to be honest with you.
We're talking with Mike Johnson. Mike, let's talk about the number three team in the country, and that's Notre Dame. They come into today's action 7-0. They'll play Navy. You know, they've got Florida State and Syracuse and USC who are decent teams, but they're not playing anybody great the rest of the way. You know, obviously it's always a challenge to figure out who's going to make the college football playoff, but is there any way Notre Dame will be denied if they go 12-0?
I just don't see it. I don't think so. Now, I will say this. I think they have to go 12-0. I think they have to go 12-0 handily. I don't think that they can afford really any of the close matchups. And listen, this is a Notre Dame team that historically, at least during Brian Kelly Sr., has struggled when they have gone west of the Rocky Mountains. And they have to do that a couple of times still left this season. You know, this isn't today's game. This is not, you know, yesterday's Navy team. This is not, you know, the Navy team that can give anybody a scare on a national landscape. I don't expect Notre Dame to struggle, really. And to be honest with you, when I look at Notre Dame, they're really the tale of two seasons to me. Since the change at quarterback, I think they have been a much better football team. Before they changed quarterbacks, I didn't think they had a shot of not only running the table but getting into the college football playoff or making any noise. Since the change to book at quarterback from Wimbush, I really think this is a more complete football team. So I do expect Notre Dame to run the table. Maybe they have a hiccup. Maybe they don't. I think that Pat Fitzgerald up at Northwestern is probably the best shot to beat this Notre Dame football team. But I really expect Notre Dame to run the schedule. I think that they'll be in the college football playoff. I think it would take an absolute disaster for them to avoid the college football playoff at this point. And we all know, listen, as much as none of us want to admit it, the brand recognition that Notre Dame brings to the college football playoff means a lot to this college football playoff committee, and I expect them to land in that Final Four at season's end.
Speaking of brand recognition, Ohio State has it, but what they also have is a pitiful loss. They got destroyed by Purdue on the road last week, an absolutely dominating effort by the Boilermakers. Now, Ohio State still plays Michigan. They still play Michigan State. If they win out and win the Big Ten championship, they'd still have a chance at 12-1. But do you think that bad loss, really bad loss to Purdue, cost them no matter what happens the rest of the way?
It's funny because we start falling into that same scenario that we did a year ago where Ohio State loses and we think we know what's going to happen. You know, I'll say this. I don't know if that loss cancels them out of the playoff. But I'll tell you what the loss did do for me. It made me waver in my confidence of them going up against some of the teams they're going to face for the rest of the year. I really like what Michigan has done. I really have a hard time envisioning a game where Ohio State runs away with it against Michigan. And so I don't think the game against Purdue cancels that out, cancels their ability to get out. But I think that it has opened my eyes to some of the holes they have. I think that when you look at, and I don't want to go too broad spectrum with you here, but I think when you look at some of these spread offenses, some of these offensive gurus, and I'm talking about Gus Malzahn, I'm talking about Bobby Petrino, I'm talking about Urban Meyer, I think more so than ever this year it has come front and center that some of these teams have to have dual-threat quarterbacks. Jared Stidham has struggled without the dual-threat nature of that offense. You don't have Lamar Jackson at Louisville. Bobby Petrino has struggled. And right now, Dwayne Haskins is an athletic guy, but he's not the dual threat option that JT Barrett was in the past. I just think this Ohio State team has too many holes that even if they do find a way in the college football playoff, I think it's going to be an early exit for them. I don't think they're that good of a football team as they have been in the past.
Mike, to that point, and I'm here, you know, I work in Cleveland during the week, so I'm you know, watching the Buckeyes all the time. And I see Dwayne Haskins, and he is the best, like, NFL prospect quarterback that Ohio State's ever had. Is it on Urban Meyer to really adjust his offense to the talent of his quarterback?
I think it is. I think he's always done a good job of it. But look back for me at when, you know, this team has been the best, when Urban Meyer's offenses have been the best. Even look at Dan Mullen and tell me when Dan Mullen's offenses have been the best. Now, they're serviceable with Felipe Franks. I was on a 2005 Bama team that played Chris Leak before Tim Tebow got there. They're serviceable. I mean, they do good things. They're going to win a lot of matchups based on the attention to detail that they play with. But when you do get into these shootouts and into these, you know, these defenses that are playing with reckless abandon, I just think it takes away a dimension that really allows these offenses to hit their peak. Now, obviously, Urban Meyer's done great things. Cardale Jones was not a guy that was a dual threat option per se, but when you look back at when Cardale Jones faced off against Bama in that Sugar Bowl, a number of huge, huge first downs Cardale Jones was able to pick up with his legs. I mean, just because he was a big guy and he was always falling forward. So I think Urban Meyer has done a good job. I don't want to take away from what he does in the running game, but I do look at the fact that, you know, in yesterday's game 3 and 4 years ago, you had an Ezekiel Elliott. You had a strong running game outside of the quarterback. I just don't know that I see that angle from Ohio State right now, week in and week out. I think that's something they're going to have to work on as they face the rest of the schedule.
Do you think, you know, obviously Texas lost their opener to Maryland, but they've had a great season since, including a win over Oklahoma. They're ranked 6th in the country right now. How good do you think the Longhorns are?
You know, it's going to be tough. I'll bounce that question right back and say, how healthy is Sam Ehlinger? Because I look at this team today, and I'll be honest with you. I'm not too heavy of a gambling man, but I'm a little bit of a gambling man. And my money's going to be all over Oklahoma State in that game today. I just think that right now, Texas has won some big games. I mean, they have. You can't take that away from them. But the consistency with them really has been an issue. And I think Oklahoma State battle-tested right now. I'm not a great Oklahoma State team, but I just don't know that the inability for Texas and the red zone in particular, I think they're going to settle for some field goals when Oklahoma State is settling for some touchdowns. I think Texas is a great team. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great story. I played Texas back when Colt McCoy was there. They're a great program, great story. I don't know that right now they have the guns and the ammo to be able to get through the end of this schedule unscathed. I hope they do, honestly. I would love nothing more than to see Notre Dame and Ohio State and Alabama and Texas in that Final Four, but I just don't know that Texas has the guns right now to be able to get it done through the end of the year.
You can hear Mike Johnson, the host of Open Mic, on Backroad Sports Network from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Mike, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, look forward to doing it again soon, buddy.